Welcome everyone to another episode of Classroom to Staffroom, where we talk all things teaching. I'm joined by my co-host Jodie Epia.
How are we all?
I'm Miles O'Kane, and we look forward to taking you all along for the ride. My man, we've come to the final week of Term 1, and I could not be happier for this set of holidays. Oh. It's been a term, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's one of those ones where, even though it's 9 weeks, bro, it just seemed like it just...
It was a heavy 9 weeks. Yeah. I think it's always the first 4 weeks I definitely start with energy pumping. And then I kind of get to the midway. And then it's like the last 8, 9, those weeks just hits me. And I'm like, it's going to be 11-week term next term.
And the other one that I noticed as well is that because assessments are usually based on a 10-week term.
Yep.
And then when the 9-1 comes in, it sort of throws things out of balance a little. And you're sort of trying to, well, is it best to get it done before the break and then start a new topic next term?
Or yeah.
Go back to the...
I had an assessment planned this time last year for the end of term one. And I forgot that we're a week short. So I was like stressing for half an hour. I'm like, how am I a week behind the crit? And they're like, oh, no, it's a 9-week term.
Yeah.
All right, reflections of the term. One good thing, one thing you'd want to improve on.
One good thing for me, when I look at the overall performance of the kids, their understanding, I think what it is a lot of them had high anxiety. A lot of them had fear of failure. A lot of them had fear of their inability to do things in math.
Yep.
And it's just changing that. So that's my highlight. It's changing the mindset that irrespective of where you're coming in at with math, you can actually still learn the processes. And as long as you practice those processes over and over, you can fine tune it to the point where it's like, oh, this is really easy. So that's a highlight.
Yep.
I think one of the lowlights is just the younger year groups who still have a primary school mentality where they bring in, little niggles here and there, a lot of issues around he said, she said, I'm your friend, you're not my friend this week.
What is your thoughts? Do you think year seven should be part of high school or should it stay with primary school?
I reckon stay in primary.
Yeah.
Isn't that extra year would have given them a little bit more to prepare. But when you look at it, some of the year sevens are small.
They come
through small. Except one kid that I've got in my year seven, he's huge.
Big fella.
But that's just one anomaly, but the rest, bro.
But I thought that. I think initially when they did the swap year seven high school, I was for it, thinking that it fast track maturity, but now I said, the extra year in primary school would have been nice. Yeah.
And yourself?
Good things. Yeah, I've been happy the way classes are running, expectations, routines, discipline I've been pushing. Which has been good. I have been trying to spend a focus on getting over fear of failure. So try not, almost feels like brainwashing at the time, but just getting the message out to kids all the time. Mm. Look, make mistakes. This, and like when I say in assessments, when I've got classes, I said, look, this is, no one's judging you right now. If you got 80% last time, get 100%. If you got 3% last time, try for 4%. I care about you improving each time. It seems to, once students see that, it does settle them.
Yeah.
Which I do appreciate. One thing I need to do more is contact more parents. I keep meaning to, but it keeps getting pushed back.
Mm.
Need to follow your standard, my man, and get up there.
I do a lot of my ones on the way home.
Yeah.
It takes me about half an hour to 40 minutes, depends. So I just make one or maybe two phone calls, just having a yarn to the parents about one of the good things that the kids either done or something that one of the kids need to improve on. Yeah, I use the driver.
That's going to sacrifice your podcast on.
Yeah.
Do you listen? What podcast do you listen to? Are you an audio book man?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. To follow on from your mirror question last week, what fictional world would you most like to live in? What fictional world would you most like to live in? Do you want me to give you some examples?
Yeah.
Lord of the Rings map, all those places.
Alrighty.
Narnia, which was Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Uh-huh.
Harry Potter world, which is Hogwarts. Wakanda.
Ooh.
And Zion, which is a city in the Matrix.
Uh-huh.
I don't think Zion would be high up on the list. It's just, it was brutal times, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like the party scenes were good, but you're living just bleakness.
Yeah.
I would take anywhere in Lord of the Rings over Zion.
Oh, yes.
But if you got other places, you can say it.
Fictional places that I'd like to be in the world.
It's a good question, isn't it?
I'd go Transformers, bro. I'll go on to, what's that?
Transformers. Yeah, but is that a world or Transformers?
Oh.
I might be wrong. Or it might be that Transformers just live amongst us and we don't know. Is it like that kind of thing?
Yeah.
Oh, you're trying to cheat the fictional. All right, I see you. I see you, Epia. Okay, let's narrow it down. Have you seen Harry Potter?
Yes.
All right. You'd be Gryffindor, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I was going to say you'd be Gryffindor.
Yeah, I'll go Gryffindor. Yourself?
Yeah, Gryffindor. Yeah, Gryffindor. And I'd live in, I don't know, fictional worlds. Lord of the Rings, where would you live? This is really coming downhill, isn't it?
I'm just trying to figure out the Lord of the Rings places, but different.
Oh, no, not Lord of the Rings. What's the other one? Game of Thrones.
Oh, bro. Hey, bro.
Yeah. That's a way better question.
Yeah.
The Highgarden place.
Oh, yeah.
That seemed delightful.
Yep. That's got a lot of resources.
A lot of resources. a lot of potential.
Yeah. I think they fed most of the kingdom, didn't they?
They did. Very resourceful. Industrious.
Yeah. I'll go with the main city, bro, that everybody wanted to attack.
It's just too cutthroat, man. Everyone's looking over their shoulders. You wouldn't want to live beyond the wall, would you?
Nah.
That's too dark and cold. Oh,
too cold, bro. Way too cold.
What would you can't say king. What would your job be if you were living in the city? What would your position be?
Ooh.
You'd be one of the warrior knights. You can't say that either. You got to be a normal job.
Nah, what's that dude that looks after all the accounts?
Oh, the master of coin.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's a smart move.
I'd like to be the master
of coin. That's a smart move. You have a lot of power. All right, I'll do a bit of research next time for this question. So the focus of this episode, I'm thinking, being that we're the end of term, we'll lighten up a bit. Now, we have talked about failures, part one. And then we look at part two. But this time, instead of just focusing on teachers, we bring in students and then other colleagues. Things that have happened on a school ground that may have a little bit of a more humorous side to it. So I've said it before. I'm going to start with Windex for me. Anyone that hasn't heard of it, I was in my first year teaching in one class. Bell goes for recess. Math office down the other side of the school. I'm carrying all my books to get down so I can change class. Thought it was the door open. Door wasn't open. I walked right into the window door of the math office. Thought, play it cool. No one would see. Look around. 7 year 7 saw. And then the last one said, hey, sir, it's really clear, isn't it? Your name is now Windex. And I'm like, well, that's not, you know, the start I want for a first year teacher. Take it away, my man.
Oh, right. I'm just trying to rattle my brain as to what were some of the things that, when I look at a failure in the sense, I suppose as recent as I can go is being put onto a relief list and not seeing my name on the relief list to get the phone call and then get the announcement. You are required at such and such. I think that's the only real downfall, like the one failure that I've actually done was missing covering a duty of someone else.
Yep. I was teaching at one school and I was very much big on students late to period one to get a late note. And I rocked up late from a PD one time in my first class. I was 5 minutes late. And the students stood in protest behind, wouldn't sit down behind their chairs until I went to admin and got a late note, which I thought was quite funny. It was like, good work. Another one I had was a teacher who we may or may not know on a relief basis come in, was wearing two different coloured shoes.
Oh.
And like very obvious different coloured shoes as well. Which you kind of wonder, well, you can only get so far in life, can't you?
Bro, unless he's got no light bulbs at home, bro. Get changed in the dark, don't know. But yeah, I saw that. I do know the guy you're talking about. Two different shoes. That's not even a fashion statement, bro. That's just...
Yeah. It's a personality statement. It's definitely a personality statement.
And one other that I can say is that I've come across some teachers that it's just the way that they are with kids. And knowing where the line is, some of them blur that line, even to the point where it's like they think in their head it's funny, but when they say whatever they're about to say, it's like you look at them sideways thinking, ooh. So I won't name names, but it's one of those things where you sort of, you got to know your audience.
Yes.
You got to know how kids react. Like you can talk to a certain kid a certain way, but if you talk like that to another kid, they could take it totally differently. So it's, yeah, this one teacher that I used to teach with, he just called everything as he saw it. And that to me was a big no-no because one kid actually took offense to it.
Yeah.
And, yeah, followed up with emails and all that stuff.
I think the world of teaching has definitely changed over the years. Like I remember when I was in high school, there was a teacher that used to like throw the dust ball.
Oh, yes.
Like by the time my brothers were older than me, so like they, like it never happened around like my year group. But I think he'd like chilled out a bit by then. But like, yeah, like he'd full get worked up and like launch stuff across the room. You did that these days, you would no longer be around.
I've seen that in the classroom. I was a student in that classroom.
Yeah.
And I've seen a duster being thrown, but the kid actually picked it back up and threw it back at the teacher. I was like, whoa.
Because the dusters, those old like wooden ones, they hold some weight to them as well. And there's not much maneuverability as a student. Yeah, no, it's times have definitely changed.
Yeah.
What have I got? Exit cards. Yeah, which is across all schools. These happen usually. For the audience that's not in Australia listening, exit cards, students need to have a break from class, but they need a symbol to represent them being outside of class. We call it an exit card. I had a student that needed an exit card, needed a new one. And then the ones I got, instead of having like a one individual one, it came as a sheet. So I had like 15 on there. And I thought for a joke, I'll just punch it. That was my hole punch and put it in a lanyard. And the student will notice. Go, oh, Mr. O'Kane, it's too many. I need one. 2 weeks. He just wore the whole thing. Like just loud and proud. I was like, mate, you live your best life. You do it. Just walking around the school. I was like, okay. I see you. Why, you know, like why put the extra work in cutting them up?
Yeah.
When you just have one massive, you know, Run DMC hanging down, placard.
I done one of those things as well. It was I wrote it down as a toilet pass, errand pass, but I was going to make it originally an A3, but I made it an A4. And because when the kids walk around now, it's just this little piece of paper, laminated piece of paper, and it's small enough that you can sort of hold it in your hand. And when my kids had this other one, it was a big A4 sheet laminated, and it had huge words, toilet pass across the top, and you just write the student name on there. And they go, sir. I said, hey, you need to get a toilet or what? And they go, oh, sir, we don't want it. So it's one of those where you sort of shame them enough. Some of them go, oh, no.
I'll how wait. Bad you need to go to the toilet right now? Is it worth this pass? Because I like toilet breaks.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I love it when students come to me like 5 minutes after recess into lesson. Like, sir, can I get a drink? I'm like, what do you do for like half an hour?
Yeah.
I saw you hanging out by the drink fountains. How can you not do it? Have you ever messed up? You know the no student days?
Oh, yeah.
What do we call it? Staff development days? Have you ever messed them up? I always thought for like my first three schools, my first, so like 6, 7 years, I always thought it was like the first day of every term.
Uh-huh.
It's just no. I didn't realize there was no students. I didn't realize that like schools can choose when to do it.
Yeah.
So again, for the people listening who aren't teachers necessarily, in Australia usually the first day of every term they do it as a staff development day. So there's no students. You get in there and you know get your planning and stuff done. So me having worked at three schools for 6 years, I'm like, oh, this must have never questioned it. And then I changed school and I rocked up. So it was either term two, day one, in like my hoodie. And like jeans and thongs. As I step into the school campus, everyone's in like professional teacher wear. I was like, I've definitely messed up here. I can't go home because it's just other teach for the rest of the day and explain to everyone coming through. So it's fair to say from there, I learned my lesson that schools have the power of when to use.
That is definitely one that I've not done because I always double check or I'll message someone to see if it's just a teacher only day.
Yeah.
And like if I can't get in, I'll try and look on emails to see it on the school website to see if. But, yeah, I've never done that one. I've never walked.
Well, it wasn't like I was even close to, like, professional wear. Like, I was completely looking like a homeless person. And I'm like, well, now I've got to teach kids as well. So we live and we learn.
Throughout the whole teaching career, there's a lot of ups and downs and there's a lot of funny moments. I think one of the funniest moments is, and one of the things that, not necessarily embarrassing in the sense, but it's when you're teaching kids. And like, I remember one time I was covering a class, a netball class, and I know how to, and I'm a badged umpire, and it was really funny because as I was, you know, umpiring the game throughout the session, I didn't see this little bag that was near the court there. So as I was shuffling down the side, you know, side shuffle, bro, hit the bag, tumbled, bro. And it was that tumble that was, so, I even laughed, and like all the kids laughed, I laughed. I was like, oh. And then when I stood back up, everybody stopped laughing. And I was like, yeah, who wants to get sent off? Who
wants to get sent off? It's funny how quick kids come around, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, oh, no, we see nothing. Have you ever been in a school where, like, the iPad technology is locked in another room?
Oh.
Yeah, so I had one school I was working at. It was, like, massive hallways. And they had a little, because it was a newish school, a little breakout rooms. And then they had, like, little storage rooms where you pull, like, the shutter down. That's where the iPads were kept. And you had, like, a lock at the end, yeah? So I had the iPads booked one day, and it must have been I was going to a period 5 and I was rushing. And I'm going past the iPads and I hear this into my room, and I hear this knocking from the inside. I'm like, that's a bit weird. Maybe I'm hearing stuff. I go to investigate, and a staff member had managed to lock themselves in the storage room, was sitting, because it was like a tiny space, man. Had to sit on the top of the iPad storage unit. I go, how long have you been in here for? And then managed to pull it down, and it locked behind me. How long have you been in here for? Like 20 minutes? But thank God it came past. I'm like, that could have been a hell of an issue.
Yeah.
But yeah, and like it was, I'm actually claustrophobic, man, so it would have been me. I would have lost it. But just sort of sitting there doing their best to conserve their oxygen intake.
Oh.
But survived to live another day.
One thing that comes to mind, about 6 years ago, end of year, wrapping everything up, department, sitting in the department having a yarn, everybody having a laugh, handing out presents because it was Christmas time, it was the end of the year. And for some reason, one of the female staff had an egg, and it was like, oh, okay, she got an egg, and she threw it. She tried to throw it at one of our, this one colleague who is quite cheeky, and he doesn't mind that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But he dodged. He moved it up just out of, in time, and it hit this real quiet teacher that didn't really get into any of that fun stuff, and was. She lost it. She went after her brain, and it was like, yeah, I can understand her, how why she was that, but yeah, it was all done in fun, but then that fun really just turned.
The mood just changes, yeah. And then it gets awkward real quick.
Yeah.
Real quick. I'm out, my man. Have you got more?
Oh, I'll tell you what, I suppose it's just trying to reflect. Like, I remember when I was teaching back home, we took our kids out on a camp for a week, and it's just funny what you talk about on camp. We thought that we'll be real. It was cold.
Yep.
But we slept outside, and throughout the night I got cold, bro. So if I'm cold, then it's pretty cold.
Yeah.
So I got up and I went inside where it was a lot warmer. So there was about five of us sleeping outside, and then I tapped three others, and they got up like this kind of side. But we left one dude out there. And he was when he woke up in the morning, his whole beard was frozen, bro. And he was like, hey, you all have left me out here. This thing, bro, we tried to tap you, just didn't move.
Get inside. It's too hot. I think, so look, today's episode is just a nice quick one.
Mm.
I think we're both shattered. I know I definitely am.
Yeah.
But yeah, just more of a, look, it's been a good term. It's been a nice end. But just keep, I think humour is a big thing in teaching.
Yep.
Obviously, you know, the balance between humour and professionalism, but if you can find the small wins and those funny incidents, I guess, without being malicious about it, it definitely makes life go easier.
Oh, it helps them pass the day, you know. And as you said, those small wins, it's those little laughs you have with colleagues in between sessions or at the end of the day.
Yep.
It's those things that sort of like smooth everything out, to come back to it again. It's look for those things and nurture those things when they're there. Don't be one of those ones who don't try to create that atmosphere, because that atmosphere is really important. It builds teamwork inside of that collegiality thing. And the cool thing with that is that no matter what, banter then becomes even a lot more funnier. And everybody jumps in. And like, I know when one person comes through our office, oh,
it's like, you're ready to go to war down there.
Yeah.
You're not going to live it through. You're coming into the wolves den. But I think especially with being on the front line of teaching and being in the classroom, like, you do need the good people around you to get through those days at times.
Aye.
So that's it. Another term done, my man.
Awesome, brother.
Looking forward to next term. To all our listeners, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next episode.
Nice one.